Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week starts right here, right now, live on a Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours to start off this new week, live until 11 a.m. Eastern time, to recap a weekend and to set a new week ahead. New week. New money, as DRS might say. A week that will still include championship series following a weekend of blowouts and blow-ups at Pinehurst number 2 in the 2024 United States Open. A major championship at stake on a Sunday. A triple header of WNBA action and a ton to recap from this weekend on the diamond, both in Major League Baseball and the opening weekend in Omaha that was a thriller at the Men's College World Series. DRS, all of that and plenty more over these next 3 hours live until 11 a.m. Eastern.
There's a lot to recap, too, and it's typical on a Monday, but my goodness, like the NBA and NHL extending their series, so at least we get a game number five. They felt like they took place a month ago playing on Friday and Saturday night because so much happened yesterday in the Major League Baseball landscape. Obviously, the U.S. Open was absolutely spectacular with the play on the course and also with the weather conditions all the way through. That was a wonderful Father's Day across there, but we got a lot to get up to, and also Major League Baseball never sleeps. Big week and also some big injuries to cover as well.
Big injuries. Big injuries that could change the outlook, at least in the National League, for a couple of weeks yet to come around MLB. And there is a fifth game tonight back in Beantown in the 2024 NBA Finals after the Mavericks hammer the Celtics on Friday night to win their first game of this championship set and stave off elimination at least for a few more days. A preview and breakdown of game number 5 inside TD Garden throughout these 3 hours. But we start in the third major championship of this golf year, yesterday in North Carolina at Pinehurst number 2. The scene and the setting, sensational on a Sunday. What many have called the best final round of a major championship in the last decade or so of golf. And the stakes were high, and the players and characters were there as well. Bryson DeChambeau holds off Rory McIlroy, or maybe better said, Rory McIlroy absolutely blows it down the stretch, and Bryson takes advantage to win his second U.S. Open title in his career. Victorious at Wingfoot back in 2020, but there were no fans really there in the crowd that week on Long Island. Bryson using the enthusiasm of the crowd at Pinehurst number 2 to claim his second U.S. Open championship, a 55-yard bunker shot on hole number 18 that will be remembered in U.S. Open lore for many years to come. Up and down from the sand to save par and win his second U.S. Open title in his career.
We always talk about, like, hey, if you're playing on a Tuesday or Wednesday afternoon, you're working on your game here as a professional golfer, everything is easy. But boy, does that pressure mount up specifically when it is a major championship. You watch that 18th hole. Both of the guys pulled their drives. Even worse was DeChambeau, who barely had a shot. And the only thing he could do was chip out into a bunker. Again, what Ben said, 55 yards away. One of the single best pressure shots you're ever going to see in a major, which gave him the victory. Now, there's a lot of things that went into how he got this victory, how well he played, down two strokes here, 4 to 5 holes left to play, and still was able to win it in regulation. A tremendous day on Father's Day, a lot of emotion, and a wonderful golf course to let it play out on.
We will have a full recap to start hour two, but Rory McIlroy, after going on a tear, birdieing 4 of 5 holes from 9 to 13 to open up his second nine and taking a lead despite trailing by 3, entering Sunday's final round at Pinehurst, bogeys 3 of his final 4 holes, including missing 2 putts inside 4 feet on 16 and on that closing hole, 18, to cough up a chance to win his first major crown in a decade. Again, plenty more to come, but Bryson DeChambeau stands on top at Pinehurst number 2, his second U.S. Open title in his career pre-tournament, a 20-to-1 price on DeChambeau. Now we go to a triple header yesterday in the WNBA, a budding rivalry between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and the Indiana Fever and the Chicago Sky. For the second time this year, the Fever knock off the Sky yesterday at home in Indianapolis, 91-83. Indiana covering as a short 2.5-point home favorite. A total of 168 and a hook does go over. Make that back-to-back wins, the RS, for the Fever for the first time this season.
Yeah, looking good for them as well as Caitlin Clark, 23-8-9, but obviously some controversy on a hard flagrant foul. But even after the game, Caitlin Clark says the only thing I'm worried about was making my 2 free throws. Having said that, you know, I didn't know this game was being played, but obviously being on social media all of the time, I flipped that game on, Ben. I watched the final quarter and a half, and it was really good basketball awesome. Down the stretch. So a sold-out crowd. I would love to see what the ratings are for that game because it was perfect. You didn't have a lot going on while that game was playing as you were waiting for the U.S. Open really to start getting cranked up on a Sunday. It's a good game all the way through and a good win by the Fever.
The lead up on national television on CBS to the rest of Sunday afternoon. I'm sure the records for viewership on CBS for a WNBA game were there. Angel Reese was called for a flagrant foul on Caitlin Clark on a basketball play, an attempt and block that just hit Caitlin Clark in the head. Sure, hard and physical, but a basketball play. Let's move on. Caitlin Clark sensational yesterday. Her 5th game of only 15 in her WNBA career, with at least 20 points, 5 dimes, and 5 boards. That ties the most that we have seen for a WNBA rookie in a single season since Diana Taurasi back in 2004, and that's the entire season. Caitlin Clark is one more game away from that kind of performance, from setting a new record. And the former number 1 overall pick alongside her, Aliyah Boston, sensational, 19 points, 14 rebounds. The Dodgers this weekend against the Kansas City Royals do get a weekend victory, but it comes with some bad news as well. Yesterday late in the game at home in the Ravine against KC, Mookie Betts hit by a pitch on his left wrist. He is a fractured left hand. He is set to miss some time. And Yoshinobu Yamamoto placed on the IL yesterday with a rotator cuff injury. Neither expected to be season ending, Donnie, but not good news in Los Angeles.
Yeah, specifically over a handicapper or better, and said, man, I think Mookie Betts is going to win that MVP. That's not up in smoke. He has no chance to win the MVP. He's going to miss at least 4 to 6 weeks here with that broken wrist. Now, it doesn't look like he needs surgery, so how extensive is that wrist injury going to be, and how long is he going to be out? As you said, probably not season-ending, but that's a tough pill to swallow. But if you are the Dodgers, here's what you probably do. I don't know. Go out and trade for Francisco Lindor just to take over. That's how much money and capital they have. This might actually be a bad thing for the rest of the league, where the Dodgers might actually have to go out and get an even better player. Then when Betts comes back, like, we don't even know where to put him, but we're going to be blessed with all these riches right now. We'll see what the Dodgers do.
Frankie ain't going anywhere. The Mets, since Grimace threw out the first pitch, they're 5-0. The New York Mets are rallying right now up in Queens. Elsewhere around Major League Baseball, a great interleague weekend set between the Orioles and the Phillies inside Camden Yards this weekend. The O's get the series victory against the Phils, as yesterday they win the finale 8-3. Corbin Burnes outduels Zach Wheeler, who had his worst start in a while, suffering his first loss since the middle of April.
Yeah, and that's expected. You can't beat really good teams all the time on the road. They didn't get swept in that, which I guess you could say is a good thing. Didn't get swept in Boston, but coming off of that, you know, dilapidation, I should say, in London on that final game, not a great look for the Phillies, but now they get some home cooking and Trey Turner back in the lineup should help them out.
Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees, the rivalry renewed this weekend at Fenway. The Sox take the series, winning 2 of those games, the final 2, despite an Aaron Judge first inning home run. The Red Sox as a team steal 9 bases yesterday for the victory and the finale in the weekend win.
They got a lot of fun young left-handers in that lineup. If you're not betting the Boston Red Sox, you know, team totals, RBI props, stolen bases, you're doing it wrong. I like this young team right now.
The first team in Omaha sent packing yesterday. Virginia eliminated by conference foe Florida State. In Tennessee, one win away from the College World Series finals as the Vols take care of business against North Carolina. The Euros started this weekend as well. England on the marquee yesterday, and Jude Bellingham, the future of the Three Lions, finds a goal for the 20-year-old as well. Plenty more around MLB coming your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The rubber match yesterday in Baltimore. A great interleague affair this weekend between the Orioles and the Phillies, who entered the weekend with the second and third best records in all of Major League Baseball. The Phillies the best in the National League, but on a small slide, perhaps, since their return from London last weekend. In the Orioles, the second best mark in the American League, but looking up at the New York Yankees. So the rubber match yesterday in an aces affair. Zach Wheeler for Philadelphia. Corbin Burns on the other side for Baltimore. Burns was good. Wheeler was not, allowing 8 earned runs against Baltimore, suffering his first loss since April 14th as Baltimore wins the weekend 8-3 in the finale.
Yeah, there is something to be said. I mean, having a great backstop catcher, which is JT Realmuto, which is going to be out for some time there with that knee injury. Garrett Stubbs now the guy behind the plate. We'll see if that has an effect, because two of the worst starts here for the season for Wheeler certainly have come from when Stubbs was behind the plate. One in Miami and now one in Baltimore. But also, looking at the grand scheme of things, the one thing we do know is Corbin Burns is a really good pitcher. This was supposed to be one of those games that probably ended 2-1 because both pitchers went into the eighth innings and who got that clutch hit late. Yeah. But that wasn't the case. Baltimore is on it this week, and they are such a fun lineup and a great power hitting lineup. And also keep in mind that game on Friday night, which the Phillies blew multiple times in their bullpen and rescued that victory late with a Bohm double in extra innings to get the 2-run win. Saturday, you knew it was going to be a little bit tougher, and Tyrone Walker wasn't really that bad. Sunday, the better team was just the Baltimore Orioles. But again, we thought this might happen going to London, then playing Boston, who's playing much better baseball right now, and then playing the Orioles, one of the better teams in baseball. It's hard to win those series. Did I like the performance out of the Philadelphia Phillies? Not necessarily. But no harm, no foul. The Braves certainly aren't turning the world upside down at this point right now. The Phillies will come home. Trey Turner's back in the lineup. That'll be fine. But I think the focus should be put on how really talented and good the Baltimore Orioles are.
Yeah, and they certainly are. There are three teams around Major League Baseball that have gotten to at least 45 wins so far this season, and all three have 47. Those two teams that faced off this weekend in the Charm City, 47-24 for the O's, 47-24 for Philadelphia. The Phillies, by the way, still 4 games better than anybody else in the National League. Baltimore, a game and a half back of the New York Yankees for that best record in the AL, despite the Yanks losing the weekend and Baltimore winning the weekend at home. But 47-24 for the O's is pretty good. And you can see the vision anytime Baltimore really performs. Gunnar Henderson, solo shot in the first. Colton Cowser, the rookie, solo shot in the second. Adley Rutschman, a solo shot in the third. That's how Baltimore got the scoring going yesterday against Zach Wheeler. And what I chuckle at, DRS, his first loss. Wheeler's first loss since the middle of April, and he entered the weekend as the NL Cy Young favorite. And now he's got the third best price behind his teammate, Ranger Suarez, who was having a great year, by the way, and Tyler Glasnow, who was great yesterday for the LA Dodgers. But Wheeler is still going to be fine, so I don't think you're losing all that much value on the Phillies ace if you want to bet him now.
No, and maybe it's a good thing here. We're saying, like, he's probably clear-cut the guy with the most pedigree that should be able to win this award. Yeah. He got by that little down dip, which he had yesterday. He'll be fine the rest of the way. It's just going to be interesting to see moving forward if he's not all that comfortable with Stubbs. But the more you pitch to the guy, the more you'll probably get used to it here. But he always has JT behind that backstop. It'll just be something to watch over the next couple of weeks. But again, Phillies moving home here. The Orioles, is anybody surprised that they beat the Phillies in a 2 out of 3 series there? No, nobody's surprised by that. I like watching this team play overall. I even enjoyed it yesterday, even though they were hammering my Philadelphia Phillies, because so many guys in that lineup on a night-to-night basis, man, we're betting those guys, RBIs, base hits, team totals, all that good stuff here. So the Orioles are going to keep us involved for the rest of the summer, no doubt.
Absolutely so. And it was the team that finished with the best record in the AL last year to only lose in their opening round of the postseason. It felt like a club with this young core that was maybe 1 year away. How would they match those expectations entering this season? So far, so good for the O's. And it really seems like a two-guy race for the American League Cy Young right now. Tarek Skubal for Detroit, who has been sensational. But the Orioles might have the benefit of being a better team. And that's Corbin Burnes less than a buck behind Skubal right now to win the AL Cy Young. Some shifting markets yesterday individually in the award components in the National League. We just showed you Tyler Glasnow, now second best price to win the National League Cy Young. A change with the Dodgers to win the NL MVP as well based on injury. The Dodgers victorious yesterday in their series finale against Kansas City. The Dodgers win the weekend against KC at home. Yesterday booked as greater than a $2.50 favorite with Glasnow on the bump, and he went 7 innings of shutout work, only allowing 3 hits. Shohei Ohtani, 2 home runs yesterday at home inside Dodger Stadium. 3-0 the victory. But beyond that, again, Mookie Betts hit by a pitch in the 7th inning. A fractured left hand. He is going to miss some considerable time, says manager in L.A., Dave Roberts.
Yeah, that's going to be some trouble here, because also it's not so much to say, ooh, thank goodness he's going to come back at the end of it. He was playing great baseball now. Wasn't it like, hey, you know what? He can deserve this break. He's only hitting 255 on the season. He was the MVP there of the Dodgers. Now that focus is going to shift to Ohtani, who yesterday, again, 2 base hits, 2 home runs, 2 RBI, batting average 309. He'll take over that mantle now as MVP look in the National League. But the Dodgers doing what they do, 44-29. It's not one of those records that you thought like, wow, they might only have 10 losses at this point because of how talented that entire roster is. It's the Major League Baseball season. Some guys get injured. Some teams start to play well. Some teams don't play so well. But the Dodgers pick up a win against a quality win against the quality. Royals, something we usually haven't said over the past couple of years.
The Royals have had a rough stretch. They took on the Yankees for 4 games at Kauffman, then went out to L.A. to face the Dodgers. In their last 20, KC just 7-13, but still 41 wins this year in what will turn out to be a competitive American League Central. So, Mookie Betts, no longer the favorite to win National League MVP. It is now Shohei Ohtani at plus 180. Betts has fallen all the way to 26-1, 7th best price because of the injuries. Bryce Harper of Philadelphia, 2nd best price, now at plus 300. Hide the fork, I guess, because the Astros won the weekend against, in their matchup, the Detroit Tigers. But Houston's still 6 games below 500, 33-39. 4-1 the victory yesterday. Ronald Blanco has been a revelation this year. 7-2 and a 2.43 ERA. Yesterday, 7 innings of work, shutout baseball, 8 strikeouts in the win.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's going for a no-hitter. 7, as you said, shutout innings there, no hits allowed, and under 100 pitches. Can't let the guy go at least into the 8th and say, look, I'll give you the next 6 batters. If you get them all out, you'll stay out there. You give up 1 base hit or 1 more runner on base, I'll take you out. That's always a tough scene in baseball where these guys are going for some history and just aren't able to achieve it.
More around the weekend in the bigs up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A rivalry rubber match last night on Sunday Night Baseball between the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. In a series where the Yanks won the first game in Fenway, 8-1, Boston responds with a big victory in game number 2 on Saturday. Sunday, the weekend was decided. A franchise record-setting day for the Red Sox. 9 stolen bases as a team and 9 runs scored. 9-3, the victory for Boston, despite Aaron Judge leading off the first inning for the Yanks, or at least in the top of the first, with another home run. The Red Sox rally 9-3 the win. The weekend goes to Boston.
It does go to Boston. I like this lineup overall. 37-35 on the season now. Back in that mix here for wild card positioning, and maybe they'll get there. I like the pitching staff from guys that are unheralded that we thought to begin the season could be dominant. Like we just talked about Hauk out there, maybe in line for a possible Cy Young Award push here. But the lineup, which is so impressive, it almost reminds me a little bit, Ben, a couple years ago. Remember when the Pittsburgh Pirates were really good? The Starling Martes, the McCutcheons, one of those teams on the rise. Like, you know, Josh Harrison, let's get behind him and have some fun with it, because not only can they have the speed and the power, but also the athletic ability to play the field as well? I love what I see out of the Boston Red Sox. Duran and Hamilton at the top of that lineup. How about this? 8 total at-bats yesterday there, or I should say 10 total at-bats. 2 walks included in there, 4 base hits, tons of steals here, combined for 4 earned runs, 4 runs that they got in, and also have the guys, those veterans like Rafael Devers in the middle of that lineup. This is a fun team, and I've been using them more and more in that RBI and run scoring market, because if you have power and speed on the bases, that's a deadly combination. It almost feels like a throwback to the 1980s. Like, let's get these really talented kids that'll put the ball in play in the top of the lineup with the ability to steal bases. I love what I see out of the Red Sox right now. I'm really impressed.
26th home run for Aaron Judge, 64 RBIs. That's the best in baseball at this moment. But Boston, a winning record. Two of the 6 divisions around Major League Baseball that have 3 teams above 500 with a winning record. The American League East, the Yankees, the Orioles, and the Red Sox. And the American League Central, the Guardians, Royals, and Twins at this moment. Elsewhere around the bigs, the Braves were looking for a series sweep yesterday, but Tampa takes the finale 8-6 to hold off that sweep against Atlanta. American League West divisional duel, the Mariners do sweep the Rangers. The Mariners, the only team in the American League West with a winning record. In fact, the only team that is not 5 games below 500 or worse. That includes the reigning World Series champs, those Rangers, the Astros, who we always debate. Hey, are they going to hide the fork? If they keep splitting weekends and they keep just winning series and not going on a large run, there's not going to be much they can do. Seattle now, DRS, 8.5 game lead for the top spot in the American League West.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that, too, because for a while we're just saying, will anybody want to step up to the plate? Does anybody want to win that division? And apparently, the Mariners have really stepped up to the plate, because I don't know. 2 weeks ago, you're saying to like, Donnie, who are we going to take here? Well, value for me probably would have been on the Texas Rangers. Maybe just too banged up. Maybe we're going to wait too long for that pitching staff to get healthy here and to have that core actually start to dominate the 1-9, which is very good for them. And maybe it just is that big ballpark out there in Seattle that they have good young pitchers that they're using that to their advantage. But sometimes you're just a byproduct of the division you play in. Nobody's any good except for the Mariners, and that 8.5 lead screams right now they probably got this one in the bag already, Ben.
-290 is not the worst price to pay for a team that has an 8.5 game lead. That's the odds makers expecting some sort of regression out of Seattle, or maybe Texas and Houston to wake up and give them a chase in that division. The Brewers win the weekend yesterday, throwing out a runner in the 9th against the Reds. Cincy playing better baseball, but the Brewers the only team with a winning record right now in the National League Central. The Cardinals, though, with a series victory against the Cubs, do get to an even 500. And how about those New York Mets? Grimace. Yes, grimace throughout the first pitch on Wednesday. From that point, the Amazons are perfect. They are 5-0 after a weekend series sweep at home inside Citi Field against the San Diego Padres. The Amazons have some life at the moment, Donnie.
Yeah, specific at the top of that lineup, Lindor, 2 RBI, Nimmo, an RBI, J.D. Martinez, an RBI, Pete Alonso, 5 RBI. Again, Major League Baseball, you have the ebbs and flows of the season. The Mets are playing terrible baseball, now playing much better baseball. Unlike the Phillies, who went to London and struggled after they got out of London, the New York Mets haven't had any struggles there getting out of London, playing much better baseball now. So maybe Uncle Steve can lay out some of those dollars at the deadline as opposed to trading Pete Alonso away at the deadline.
And as we have shared, there's only 4 teams in the National League with a winning record. The Braves, the Phillies in the National League East, the Brewers in the NL Central, the Dodgers in the NL West. Sure, the Mets are 4 games below 500, but that wild card chase for the final 2 spots, albeit maybe made up of mediocre clubs, going to be exciting the rest of the summer. More on the Early Line coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So let's go way back on this Monday morning ahead of game number 5 tonight in the 2024 NBA Finals. It's a weird thing when you have a daily show each and every day of the week, but nothing over the weekend. So Donnie and I look back all the way on Friday evening in game number 4 of the NBA Finals in Dallas. It was not a game we necessarily expected or the outcome we believed would play out, but the Celtics always lay at least one dud, and there it was in game number four. The Mavericks victorious in that fourth game against Boston, 122-84, nearly a 40-point home margin in favor of the Mavs, who closed as an ever so slight home underdog, minus 112 money line for the Celtics, minus 104 on the other side for the Mavericks. Even if we believe, Donnie, that Dallas would give Boston a good test, finally in this NBA Finals set, even if we believe the Mavericks could edge out the Celtics to win their first game of this championship series, I don't think we expected it to be by 38 points.
No, I didn't expect that. And I also thought the Boston Celtics were going to win that game and close out the NBA Finals just based on what I've seen for the previous three games. And that wasn't the case right off the bat, because you did get that good scenario once again. Hey, look at that. Dallas with a double-digit lead in the first quarter. This time they were able to make it stick. Instead of just having a meandering end of the first quarter and an even second quarter, they won that first quarter 34-21, second quarter 27-24, and it was a wrap from there on out. Basically just a party in Dallas saying, could we actually now go to Boston and possibly force a game number six? And what did you like out of the Boston Celtics this game? Absolutely nothing. Jason Tatum, I thought, was in line for a big game. 27 minutes, 15 points. Jaylen Brown, 27 minutes, 10 total points. They're the guys that you're supposed to lean on in these big moments to close out a game and win an NBA championship. And they weren't ready at that point. Now, granted, 3-1 series lead. Do we still think the Boston Celtics, Ben, are going to lose that? Absolutely not. But I was just disappointed, because sometimes you lose in a hard-fought effort, right? Mavericks 105, Celtics 104. Oh, no, we were so close to it. They didn't even compete in this, as almost like they're like, you know what? It'd be so cool to win this in Boston. Let's just see what happens in the first half. And we saw quickly what happened in the first half. It was Kyrie, it was Luka dominating, and the Celtics were nowhere to be found.
DRS, we often say things here on this show for the sake of content to maybe build narratives that we don't believe the actual athletes, the organizations, the coaching staffs really take into mind. Like, hey, wouldn't it be cool to win it in front of the crowd inside TD Garden, to hoist championship banner number 18, the most ever in the history of the association, at home? But then you expect the actual players to be like, nah, we're going to try to win a basketball game to win a championship. We're not going to fall into the pedigree of getting the duck boats fired up already as soon as we win. But then we look at the game and we say, well, if the Celtics are trailing by double digits early in the opening half, might Joe Mazzulla just pack it up? And again, we don't really think that's going to be the reality. And then it happens, because that's exactly what happened. The Celtics down by 13 at the end of the first quarter, lost the second quarter by 13 as well. That Boston dud was there in the effort and anything that we anticipated in game number four. The first time in this series a team scores more than 110 points. It's the Dallas Mavericks. And in only 64 total minutes, 31 for Kyrie, 33 for Luka Doncic, those two guys combined to score 50. Nobody else, because of the blowout manner of game number four, really did much. But Kyrie Irving scoring 21 and Luka Doncic adding in 29, still neither guy, because of blowout theory, went over a points prop in game number four.
And still stayed under the total here, which is impressive, with the Dallas Mavericks scoring 122 points. But just didn't like it. Like, you're supposed to have that, and I understand this by saying, the preface is always, the Celtics are going to win the series, I get it. But you just wanted to see that, like, you know, I'm going to step on your neck right here in this game, right off the bat, to not even give you any light. Because if that first quarter was 34-21 Boston, I'm not so sure we got that much fight out of Dallas. Like, why are we even trying at this point? They obviously have our number, but that wasn't the case. And if you just leave that door open and you say to yourself, yep, a team that's down 0-3, let's just get one and see where it goes. Now you go to Boston. There is absolutely no pressure on the Dallas Mavericks. All the pressure will be once again on the Boston Celtics to close them out. Because if you do allow the Dallas Mavericks to win in Boston, that means you are setting yourself up, no doubt about it, Ben, for a game number seven. And in a game seven, anything can happen at this point. Now we're getting way ahead of ourselves, because I do think the Boston Celtics will win the game, because quite frankly, they're what, a favorite? 6.5, 7 points right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Correct. They're supposed to do that. But the way they got beat down here, maybe it sends some ramifications, or, as I like to say, you take a look at Joe Mazzulla and he goes, you know what, guys, We had fun first three games. We won. Lost that game number four. Got a little cavalier out there on the court. Let's rein this back in. Let's hit the film room. Let's get after it. Let's clinch this bad boy in Boston on Monday. We'll see if that happens. But you can't take anything away from the Mavericks. You love right. the fight of a champion here. You could have very easily said, we're not going back to Boston. Why even waste our time? It's over at this point. They fought hard and got a big victory. Let's see if they can make it two in a row now.
So I think it's very natural. Look at the outcome of game number four in a 38-point difference and say to ourselves, is there any carryover? Is there any hangover because of how bad the blowout was in favor of the Mavericks? If Dallas eked out their first victory 104-101 in a tightly contested game, we'd say, okay, the Mavericks were an NBA championship caliber team, but Boston is going to win this easily in game five. Is that the natural assumption for tonight? We will preview tonight's fifth game inside TD Garden in just a moment, because now we look at the series outright. Minus 3,500. Still the number in favor of the Seas, but they were minus 8,000 entering game four. We said it repeatedly on Friday. Here we go again on Monday. This is the 157th all-time NBA postseason series in a best of seven, where a team has held a 3-0 series lead. In the previous 156, including both of the conference finals that we saw in that round, the team that was up 3-0 has won all 156 series. Only 12 times in NBA playoff history in this scenario has a team even won two straight games to force a game six. That is what the Mavericks are trying to accomplish tonight.
Yeah, and it's going to be hard to do because, again, we don't even have a premise of saying, like, oh, look at this. Three out of the last 4 years, we had a team come back from 0-3. It's never happened in the NBA. And also the reason that you get down 0-3 is probably because you're not as good as a basketball team as the other team. And also, when you go back to your childhood days, if anybody ever played baseball, you know, grade school, second, third grade, you're down 8 runs by the third inning. What did your coach used to tell you? Hey, guys, they got 8. We can get 8 just as easily. Now, you know that's not really the case, because the reason they got 8 is because you're a bad baseball team at this point here. So some of that foundation has to be on the Mavericks, where it's like, let's go out tonight, but also let's put this key ingredient. We're going to talk about player props a little bit later in the show. The nice Kyrie Irving that showed up in games 1 and games 2 in Boston, Ben, didn't work out in his favor. Now you sort of got that fire lit under him in games 3 and 4 where he's being assertive. Let's see if nice Kyrie turns into mean Kyrie in Boston tonight. That's something I want to watch here, but certainly buying it on Dallas 14-1. Don't love that. Obviously, minus 3,500 on Boston. Don't necessarily love that. And even if you're saying, let's just get it to six games, you know, go back in Dallas, it's still a minus 270 hurdle you got to get through in game number five just to get to game number six. So it's tough betting in that respect.
Donnie, I think you made this point last week, and I think it was incredibly sound. If there was any hope for Dallas to win a game in game number four, the number to bet was a plus 180 price on the Celtics in five, because the Celtics were going to be at least a six and a half point favorite for game number five. And that's where the odds are right now. Boston to win this series in five games, minus 270. A little bit of change in the money line, so it's minus 260 for the specific game five odds for tonight. But that's where it is. Again, I think our most interesting conversation is NBA Finals MVP. Tatum scored 15 on Friday, Brown only 10, and yet Jaylen Brown still greater than a $2 favorite to win Finals MVP. There's your number once more on Jason Tatum ahead of tonight.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you got to take one of the Jason Tatum to win the MVP on Friday. They got a hammer, but if they win, I expect a big performance out of Jason Tatum. I like the plus money on that. I just do.
And now it's a crowning achievement inside TD Garden in Boston. We'll look at game number five tonight of the 2024 NBA Finals up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game number five tonight inside TD Garden between the Boston Celtics and the Dallas Mavericks. The Seas back home in Beantown, just needing one more win for championship number 18, the most ever in the history of the National Basketball Association. And they can do it in front of the home crowd tonight in Boston. The Mavericks trying to accomplish something we've only ever seen 12 times out of 156. That's 156 times a team has been up 3-0 in a best of seven series, and a team like Dallas is trying to do has won two straight games to force a game six. Is the NBA season over tonight? Will an NBA champion be crowned in Boston, the home team, the Celtics, or will Dallas send us back to the Lone Star State later this week? It's a 6.5-point spread, the updated numbers on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and for the first time, DRS, in this series, a total that is sub 210, 209 in a hook, because all four of the games so far have stayed under.
Yeah, and I'm looking at that under 209.5 price once again, how I liked it on Friday. But again, if you would have told me 122 points by the Dallas Mavericks, man, that thing went way over, and it didn't because of the blowout nature of that atmosphere. And blowouts usually kill everything, props, point structures, all that stuff. But if we are taking a look at the game in the Garden tonight, yes, we probably aren't going back to Dallas. Why? The odds makers are telling us that. -6.5 with a money line here for Boston at a -260 price. But if we get inside the numbers at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Ben, take a look at this. Spread percent here, 51% on Boston. We basically got 50-50 betting action this, with slightly more money coming in on Boston at 63%. That's very interesting, because the one thing we do know is the Dallas Mavericks should be able to hang around, but the question is going to be how much of what we saw in game number four is going to translate here into game number five, which means that the Boston Celtics didn't play well. Was their head actually in it? It's tough to question that, because anytime the championship trophy is in the building for you to win and you come up lame, like 40 points lame, that's kind of rough here. It's almost as if it was like, hey, you know, it'd be really cool once again if we won this at home. So I'm trying to take a look at that 6.5 and say to myself, is there a legitimate chance that you think the Dallas Mavericks can win this basketball game? Because what's the anticipation? Yes, Kyrie's going to have to go nuts. Yes, Luka Doncic is going to have to go nuts. But at the same time, Boston, can they have a meltdown on their home court with all the pressure on them once again? I don't think that's going to happen. But I got to tell you right now, if you're saying, Donnie, which would you like to bet more, the side or the total in this game? It's probably the total for me.
And which way would you go? Under, because it is yet another series clincher and elimination game? Because I would agree with you, Donnie. The conversation for the Mavs entering game four, could they get to 100? They had not reached the century mark so far in the first three games of this NBA championship series. They scored the most points a team has scored in any of the four games of the 2024 NBA Finals. The first time anybody has gotten to 110 or over, 122. Is what Dallas scored on Friday. Now, it is interesting from the handicapping perspective when you reach a 38-point blowout in blowout theory. How does it go for the spread? Well, it was just a 1-point spread in favor of Boston, very close on the money line. The Mavs went outright as an underdog, or that total that was 210 and a hook and does stay under. All four games have stayed under, all four previous totals north of 210. I've said this a few times. That was game number 13 throughout this postseason run for the Mavericks that has seen a total at higher than 210, 11 of 13 under. Listen, it's only by the hook, but it is 209.5 tonight. Now let's talk about the individuals. We showed you the odds. Jaylen Brown, still a hefty favorite to win NBA Finals MVP at -230, despite Tatum outscoring Brown in each of the two games that we saw in Dallas. Does game four really mean anything? No, not so much. But Jason Tatum, still 3 points higher in his points prop tonight. 27 and a hook, 24.5 for Jaylen Brown. Brown -230 to win NBA Finals MVP. Jason Tatum +200 to win NBA Finals MVP. I still think that's your best bet for Boston tonight.
I don't know. I still can't wrap my head around what's actually taking place in the awards market. Like, why is it that far off? Like, why isn't it +100 apiece at this point? Because they're both not playing exceptionally great basketball, but they're both in the same realm, points, rebounds, and assists with each other, to have somebody at a -230 price when you know. And also, it probably should be Tatum at that -230 price, because when you look towards the Celtics, and forget about just the series itself, the length of how long Tatum and Brown have been in that lineup together, usually the alpha dog is Jason Tatum. And then you see Jaylen Brown pick up the scraps. Now, we're not disparaging him by any means. Picking up the scraps meaning like, yeah, I can go for 27 tonight at any given point. But we do know this team starts and ends typically with Jason Tatum, not Jaylen Brown. So also, if you had the first four games, like, well, what do you want? Like, Brown's averaging 37-7 every single game. Yes, he should be a minus 230 favorite, but he's not doing that. So I still can't wrap my head around this structure. And also, what changed from game four to game number five, which lessened those odds between the two? Because they were both bad in there. You just say, oh, I'm just going to bring him down a little bit lower. Shouldn't the odds have gone even higher up for Jaylen Brown at that point? I don't get it. I just don't.
15 points for Jason Tatum, only 10 for Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing? Game four has no semblance on this series. We have said this before. Game one, MVP, Kristaps Porzingis. I understand Jaylen Brown was Boston's leading scorer by a bucket, but it was still game KP. Game two, it was Jrue Holiday. Game three, Tatum scored 31. Jaylen Brown had a better plus minus, 38-8. Maybe you give him the edge, but it's a toss-up. Game four, the Celtics MVP was the guy driving the plane back to Boston. I mean, it just makes no sense what the odds are right now. On the other side, we know the story for Dallas. Their duo has to be supremely better if they are going to force a game six and stave off elimination. Again, 32.5, the number four, Luka Doncic. And nice guy Kyrie Irving needs to tear off the mask and put on the old one. Bring the sage back. 23.5, his points prop for game five tonight in Boston.
Yeah, you know what? It's always the question I like to ask, and we'll get Coach on a little bit later. Like, which guy would you rather trust, the Kyrie Irving 23.5 or the Luka Doncic 32.5? And I always look at the true superstars saying, you know what? If we're going to lose, it's because I stunk. 10 of 30 from the floor. I just couldn't get my 32.5 points for Luka Doncic. I would be interested to see how what's his usage rate actually looks tonight. But for me, give me Luka. Even though he needs 33 on the road,
for sure,
I'll probably still go that route.
Or D, all of the above. Both guys need to be over if Boston is not going to win an NBA championship tonight. Puck Talk next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So two blowouts on Friday and Saturday keep our championship series alive into this new week. Game number four in the NBA Finals on Friday. Dallas wins by nearly 40. In the Stanley Cup Final, game number four on Saturday, Edmonton wins by 7. And that's in hockey. 8-1, the final. The Oilers victorious with those 8 goals, scoring as many in game four as the Panthers had scored the entirety of the series. What just happened in game number four? That will never truly be sure. What a win it was for Edmonton, and the Oilers stave off elimination, at least for just a little bit. The Panthers still one win away from its first Stanley Cup in franchise history. Edmonton trying to even bring us back to the Great White North in game number five. And unlike in the NBA playoffs, as we have shared the decisive advantage of going up 3-0 four times in Stanley Cup playoff history, a team down 0-3 has come back to win, including the 1942 Cup Final, as Donnie remembers very well, the Toronto Maple Leafs coming back from 0-3 to hoist Lord's Stanley's Cup.
Yeah, but like 8-1, what's the equivalent in the NBA? Is that 70? Is that a 70-point win, I guess? Maybe 10 points for every goal at this point? Like a three? Yeah, exactly. So we're thinking about dog years here, but obviously a dominant performance. Here's the interesting part and the correlation that you can make between the NBA and the NHL games that we watched here is what's going to be the carryover effect? Because it wasn't as if, like, you know, hey, ball, again, a close loss. We'll just get them on our home court. You got smoked in that game, which you do have to get a little bit of doubt put in your mind. Same thing with the Edmonton Oilers getting 8 goals to 1 goal for the Florida Panthers. And also, much a little bit different here with the Celtics was like, oh, we just didn't play collectively as a whole. You take a look at the Florida Panthers, forget about their offense. You were, you know, goalie was having a dominant run all the way through. 11 shots, five goals, and he was pulled. Now, will there be a carryover effect there where if you are the Oilers on the road, and let's say the first shot you take goes in through Bobrovsky, maybe you start to create that doubt in his mind. Again, it's so hard to come back down from 0-3 here, but to have these two teams not squeak one in like, hey, overtime win by the Oilers, we're headed back to Sunrise, Florida. No, 7-goal win by the Oilers, and also some of those key guys on the Oilers that you were waiting to get jump-started. They got jump-started, including 4 points out of Connor McDavid, Draisaitl, a couple of assists here. This team is like, you know what? When we play at our best, we're untouchable. The only issue is you got to be untouchable for four straight games now to win this series. I'm not saying they can do that, but the two blowouts in the NBA and the NHL, that gives us reason for some optimism for these teams trying to at least win one more game in their series.
And maybe it's my naivete, if you will, when it comes to action on the ice, but I do believe because of the mental component of being a goaltender like Sergei Bobrovsky for being pulled after giving up five goals on only 11 shots, does that carry over more as we get ready for game number five tomorrow night back in Sunrise, where the Panthers were dominant, by the way, in the opening two games of this Stanley Cup set? But when you see eight goals out of the Oilers, you had to expect Connor McDavid to be involved in the offensive output, scoring his first goal of this Stanley Cup final, adding in three assists as well. But Florida's still a minus 1,200 favorite outright to win its first Stanley Cup in organization history. Still, that series spread heavily in favor of Florida, and they're a minus 137 favorite for game number five tomorrow night back in South Florida.
Yeah, and again, we're still like, it'd be much closer. Okay, it's game six, and can they come back here? We're still looking at that big deficit. And also, you're going back to the opponent's team's building. Same in the NBA, right? Oh, it's great. We got a victory here, but now you got to do it on the road. Same thing here with the Edmonton Oilers. The one interesting aspect, too, is you always like home ice advantage, home court advantage, because the crowd is on your side. But I don't know any other sport that says, you know what? You're going to have a decided advantage being at home because of the rules, because you get the final line change here before the faceoff, which is always interesting when you get your guys out there to match up with it. That's what you get with home ice. And also, when you talk about, you know, Barkov trying to slow down that top line, particularly with Connor McDavid, every single time he's out there before that puck drops, you can match up and make sure you have your defensive center out there against him. So it's just one of those little things, those coaching moves that play into it. It'll be fun to watch it play out, but hopefully we get more hockey than even just five games here.
Listen, minus 137, home money line price in favor of the Panthers for tomorrow, as we saw in the NBA Finals. Same thing in the Stanley Cup Final. For this series to end in five, or Florida to win in five games, is minus 134. The sense will readjust as that money line becomes clear. But the conversation, who's going to win the Conn Smythe? A man named Bob was the hefty favorite before allowing those five goals and getting yanked on Saturday. Now pretty close to Sasha Barkov, plus 125, the second best number. Bryson DeChambeau, a U.S. Open champ again. That's how we start hour two next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.